Welcome back to another amazing episode of Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Today, we have a special guest who's been on a number of times, AJ Benza. He's no stranger to the world of celebrity and gossip. AJ is renowned journalist, author, and former gossip columnist known for his work with the New York Daily News, being on Howard Stern, his television show, Mysteries and Scandals, his current amazing podcast, Fame is a Bitch. With a career spanning decades, AJ has been at the forefront of breaking some of Hollywood's juiciest stories. In this episode, we'll be diving into the latest buzz and hot topics. You guys are not going to want to miss it. He has such an inside scoop that no one else does. So all these hot topics are the things you're hearing about that are making waves in entertainment industry. Get ready for an insider's perspective on the world of celebrity gossip with AJ Benza. Hi, everyone. It's Rachel Yucatel from the Misunderstood podcast, and I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. Holistic Goddess is a one-stop shop for all your holistic health needs. They offer a wide range of products from castor oil packs and collagen to natural bug spray. They do the hard work for us, checking ingredients and investigating where each product is made so you can focus on finding what works for you. Holistic Goddess brings on recognized brands weekly, often focusing on women-owned brands in North America. And they personally try all the products before adding them to the store. It's always exciting to see what new products they'll feature next. If you're looking for reliable health solutions that keep the unique needs of women in mind and cater to all ages and stages, definitely check out Holistic Goddess. And for 15% off, use code UNDERSTOOD. Go to www.holisticgoddess.com. And again, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. AJ Benza, one of Misunderstood's favorite guests back on the show. Thank you for joining me again. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. The opening of that video, God, there's so many of my friends there. I mean, Bo Deagle gave me my start when it came to visiting Manhattan and nightlife. And Kate O'Kell and I are great friends. Crystal Hefner, I know. I mean, those faces just flew by. I know so many of those people. I don't know why you and I didn't meet.
I know it is crazy. We always so say that it's so bizarre. We didn't meet. I probably tried to stay far away from you.
Probably, yeah.
and you probably wanted to get the dirt on what the
I would have had a ball with your life. Trust me. Yeah. No.
We always have so much fun when you are here. I'm happy to see that you feel better. Last time you were
Let me address that real quick. Yeah, I was not only was I ill, I had been drinking heavily. And it was really causing a lot of problems in my life and my relationship with my girlfriend. And I'd said something on the last show, I believe, that probably sounded a little crazy. Maybe you don't even remember it. I thought that we were breaking up. I mentioned that I'm going to have to start dating again. And I was just, not happy about it. But actually, what she was doing was she was just putting me in my place and more or less telling me, clean your act up or I'm gone. So I cleaned my act up. And now we're moving forward. But you've been around men that you've dated or been with that have had those issues, addiction issues.
Yeah, of course. And it's hard to, you got to learn how to put your foot down without, and have some boundaries. And sometimes that sounds, too much for them.
You need somebody to really care about you and basically tell you, look, I'm going to do this, but if you don't listen to me, I'm out. You need someone to really wake you up.
Yeah.
And, she's the kind of woman that I would not want to lose. So I woke up and now we move forward. And just so you know, this is how open and honest I am. In the background of my room is my son, 16 years old. I don't hide anything from him. He hears everything I say sometimes when he's with me now. So that's how open and honest I am. I don't really care what I say because I know it's true and honest. And that's the way I believe people should be.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I do know that for me, I have been through relationships that have ended. I don't know if you remember, I dated former baseball star, Brett Boone. Do you know?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that vaguely.
Yeah, and he had a major alcohol problem. And so much so that he had to breathe into a breathalyzer four times a day, couldn't get in the car without doing it. While I was with him, he had to go to rehab four times or something.
Oh, wow.
And to this day, we'll speak if we have to, but he would say he hates me because I helped his mom, put him back in rehab because I loved him so much.
That's love. That's out of love.
Yeah. And I think he's still not at a point in his life where he knows that that's
so sad. What happens, the line gets blurred sometimes. If you're with somebody that loves you and you're having a great time together and suddenly you can't put the brakes on the fun and the other person can, it's a little weird. Like, what's wrong? We were always like this. You used to like this. But yeah. Then those people need to wake you up and make you realize you're headed down the wrong road and I'm not going to join you. So I'm glad she did. And
I'm glad you're doing better. So
yeah, I am.
Sound better. I'm so happy to see you. So
you sure the glasses are okay? I always feel like I look like a nerd.
You look terrific. You honestly do.
All right.
All right. So let's get everyone into, all the things you know about gossip, because you are the OG, the guru.
Yeah.
I texted you the other night because I was watching the Cindy Adams docuseries, Gossip, which if people haven't seen it yet, you really have to see it. I think it's a 4-part series.
I'm on that.
Yes,
right?
And if our listeners haven't seen it, you really should. It's the history of gossip, but through the eyes of people like you. Perez Hilton is interviewed, and obviously Cindy Adams, who is 94 now, if people can believe it. And she was the ultimate in gossip.
And she was the matriarch.
Matriarch, and the people she knew, the things she protected, the barter deals she did. It was an incredible docuseries, and it was great to see you on it. You had so many inside scoop stories that I had forgotten, talking about Tupac, talking about the things going down with Richard Johnson. And, you are the guy that knows.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Cindy initially didn't really jive with me because I think she resented how fast I came up the ranks.
Yeah.
And she didn't want me being a profile picture. New York Magazine did something called an article called The Gossip Mafia. And she didn't want me on the cover. I really got pissed off. I let her have it. I shouldn't have said some things I said. And we didn't like each other. But then we were doing Geraldo every week during the O.J. Simpson trial. And we got to like each other. And I have the utmost respect for her. What people don't realize about gossip columnists is they tend to think we only write what's in that little column. What they don't realize is we have so many tips and sources that we have to protect that sometimes we'll go to the editors and say, listen, the big story on such and such.
Yeah.
But I can't have my name attached to it. So someone else has to write it, but I'll give them the facts. Cindy's done that about 10,000 times with international breaking news. She's that plugged in, even at that age. I love her, and I hope she lasts another 100 years, but she won't. But there's no one like her, and there never will be again. She's a relic and a beautiful dinosaur of what the journalism was and is no more.
Well, and actually, I was going to bring this up at the end, but let's talk about it now. How do you think the landscape of celebrity gossip has changed from when you started to now? Because and we've talked about it in the past, the level of like social media journalists or people that just get into gossip without any knowledge about it, any facts. I mean, you guys were intimately speaking to people that wanted to have their story narrated a certain way, or they wanted to protect something. It's a totally different landscape. But what in your opinion has changed so much?
Well, what changed is everybody's a writer now. Everybody can get on their laptop and go in their basement, which is a trivial way of classifying these people. But, Instagram and Facebook and TikTok have changed the way people get their news. It used to be in my day, I didn't even know I was going to be a gossip columnist. I just was told to go to a party. I liked it. And I just started writing it. And next thing I know, I'm a gossip columnist. I was a sports writer. But there were only about 15 of us in the country, I believe, that did gossip. Now, I don't know, is there 15,000, 100,000 people, a million people who put stories online? And people like you and other people, myself, we read these stories and think it's true. These are people without any journalism credentials. They just think they know what it means to be a gossip columnist, and they don't. Anybody can be a tattletale and tell a story about what they heard.
Yeah.
But it's a different thing to be a reporter, to muscle into that crowd, to get beyond the ropes and sit in the same tight booths as those celebrities do, have them trust you. That takes a lot of work. It's like infiltrating a different world. And they have to like you, even though they know you're out there for stories. You can live in that world and survive if you placate them and placate the paper. It's a very delicate dance.
And can you talk about some of the friendships you made over those years? Like, you had such huge celebrity friendships.
Nancy Sinatra, Tupac Shakur and I were tight for a few years. George Clooney and I used to go out together. He won't take my phone call. I don't call him, but if I did, he wouldn't pick up. But I mean, you name it, I was friends with them. I was friends with so many celebrities. Sylvester Stallone comes to mind. Way before I started Rocky Balboa with him, it was 1996, I believe. He had an issue with something, and I went down to Miami to meet him. He took me in his house. He explained his issue, and I fixed it for him. I don't know how many fixes there are left anymore in this gossip trade, but I was like a Ray Donovan type. I broke a lot of stories, but then there were phone calls. Mickey Rourke is a great example. He was a really tight friend of mine when he was down and out. And, I protected these guys. At the same time, I had a column to fill. So it's a lot of give and take, a lot of bartering. I'll hide that story, but give me something else. It's, like I said, very delicate. It's like tap dancing on thin ice in a lake.
Well, that brings me to a question, though, about this whole catch and kill stuff that came out with, Trump.
Ronan Farrow and Trump.
And Ronan Farrow. And people were like so astonished that this was a thing. But this has been a thing forever.
Happens every day. Yeah. Happens every day. You just, it's all about how much, I don't want to say power, but if you can help somebody by catching the story and killing it, that person, be it Trump or anybody else, is indebted to you and then will give you stories or give you tips. Not in a certain cartoony way of going, hey, by the way, I heard this is happening. But you'll tell them, this story is going to die with me, okay? No one's going to know about this affair. I did that with Mel Gibson, another guy I ran with. Mel Gibson had, six kids when he was messing around with an ex-girlfriend of mine, and I knew he was. I protected him. I made sure that story was about me and the girl, not him and the girl. Subsequently, he put me in a movie. I like to think it was because of my acting ability, but I think it was because he liked what I did him as a favor. I don't know. It wasn't a big scene. I actually got cut out. But there's a lot of that going on. I'm not sure that still happens today. I don't see any gossip columnists making their way onto the screen. After Perez Hilton, who did gossip in a very different way than I did, can you tell me who the latest gossip columnist is that's made noise that people know, that people see as it on TV show? Harvey Levin... Harvey Levin, who I knew years ago, before TMZ, he made it an industry, and my hat's off to him. But no one will ever approach gossip like it was in the 90s. No one will ever have the name recognition that I or some of my people that I ran with, like a Richard Johnson, they're not going to have that anymore. George Rush, Joanna Malloy. There was a lot of us that really broke big stories that we moved on. We moved on. I haven't moved on. I'm still doing it, but I'm doing it on podcast now instead of newspapers.
Right. Can you talk about a particular story or piece of gossip that had a significant impact on Hollywood or the entertainment industry that we may have forgotten about?
Well, I don't know if we're going to forget about it. I think that when Princess Diana died, I thought that would change the whole industry. I thought, enough of this, enough of paparazzi chasing stars. You just killed Princess Diana, man. It's got to end. We got to bring it back. It got pulled back a bit, but then it went full steam ahead. So I don't think there's any story that I can remember that had that kind of effect on the gossip industry as a whole. It's very rabid down there. At least it used to be. I don't think it's not, those battles aren't fought the same way. It used to be you could see how many newspapers were selling at the corner newsstand. And if the Daily News stack was lower than the New York Post stack, it meant that we were doing better. If that stack was higher on the way to work, I knew I had to bust my ass and get a big story. And that's when you really went out and till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and got some shit. But I don't know if there's any big stories like that anymore. Can you tell me a story that someone's name is attached to nowadays?
The gossip now, I hate to even say it, it's like almost like you're pulling teeth. It's not as exciting scandalous or like, oh my God. And it was like a real story of its own. And that's what I was going to ask you. Is there one story that you uncovered in your career that you're like, that was like my biggest scoop?
Michael Jackson. I broke Michael Jackson's story. The beginning, that where no one knew he was having a young boy stay with him, this little kid named Jordan Chandler. That was the first big break. No one knew Michael Jackson had a little kid sleeping over his house or taking them to Disney World or Euro Disney. But I had a this is how the world works. I had a friend, an old publicist named Bernie Bennett, who handled like a clothing store and a coffee company. Very nattily dressed older man. And he said, I heard a story from my wife's friend. Very convoluted. But basically, Michael Jackson has a young friend who sleeps in his house, in his bed. And he said, would that be something you'd be interested in? I said, yeah, Bernie. What else do you have? I said, don't even tell me. Meet me at a restaurant. He laid it all out. The mother of the kid that was being abused by Michael, allegedly abused, was friends with his wife, and she would tell him what's going on. We broke that story on our column, even included the kid's name, Jordan Chandler, who was underage.
How was that received? Did people not believe it? Like what?
Oh, it was. The amount of hate mail I got, I might as well have held a gun to Mother Teresa. Michael Jackson has rabid fans. Many of them are bots, but they come at you. This is before the internet was what it is. So they would write letters with letters like cut out of magazines, like a ransom note, telling you they're going to kill you because you said bad things about Michael. I got very entrenched in Michael Jackson's story life because I ended up dating Jermaine Jackson's ex-wife. And once I was dating her, I knew a lot about Michael. And she begged me, don't ever tell anybody we're together because Michael will cut us off. He puts everybody through school, through college, insurance, rent. Michael does it all. And it got out that Michael knew I was with Margaret and he cut them off. And I got to see the power of Michael Jackson. He got them back on, but he sent a message that no one gets to know about my private life. Right. That's how serious it was back then. And I lost Margaret as a result. We had to not stay together. And we weren't like going out. Like I loved her, but we had some good times. I couldn't see her again because I'm going to ruin her life.
Wait, after all the stuff you heard about Michael, what are your feelings now?
Yeah, he's a pedophile. Absolutely. There's no way. I don't care if you tell me you never touched a kid. Listen, if any man in his 30s or 40s had my son over and locked the door, not with one lock, with four, and had cameras in the corridor as you come into the bedroom, and pictures of little children on the walls, like a collage. That's what Neverland was like. And a bunch of towelettes and Jergens lotion. I mean, I could go on and on. It was a pedophile den, okay? Anybody who says it wasn't is insane. Men don't do that.
And the parents were what? Getting paid?
The parents were on the gravy train. The parents loved. Listen, when you invite a kid and his parents to Euro Disney and the parents stay on a different floor and Michael stays with their kid on a different floor, are these parents insane? They know. They have to know this. I wouldn't let my son hold a man's hand if he was in a Little League game. You don't touch my kid. But these parents were okay with it. I don't know their economic situation at the time, but Michael, with the power of money, and now what is he, $500 million in debt, they said recently. Yeah. The power of Michael's money made a lot of people happy and wealthy, and they kind of like turned their nose away from what was really happening.
Yeah.
I have no doubts he was a pedophile, no doubt.
I wanted to ask you if there was one historical event or story that you think was reported in a way that is completely misunderstood from the past.
Oh, wow. Misunderstood. You want to talk about, I could go on and on about Trump and Kamala Harris. I think everything in politics right now is grossly not reported correctly. I think the media, the media is on one side, basically. If Elon Musk didn't buy Twitter, I don't even want to know what would be happening right now. I'm a Trump guy. I know the bad things about him. Trust me, I know the guy 30 years. We had the same girlfriend. I know deep things about Trump. But I also know that what they're reporting about him, he's a racist, he's this, are just untruths. And I can't stand to see it because I know the man. I know he's very, some people say he's easy to solve. Some people say he's not hard. He's hard to understand. There's something behind him. He's ulterior motives. No, the guy loves America. He's not racist, but yet the media still portrays him that way. That is the most gross misrepresentation of truth I've seen so far in the media. And unfortunately, it's the biggest story in the world.
Well, but do you think that he sometimes steps in it? I mean, he does say things that can be controversial or misconstrued.
He's got a big mouth. He's a narcissist. He's a blowhard. He lies. He stretches the truth. I understand all that. I was brought up around men, you know, New York guys, if you're Donald Trump and you're a real estate developer, you got to deal with unions, the mafia. You got to deal with all kinds of people that most of us don't know how to even act around. And he was not only acting around them, but he was able to do what he did and create what he created around that skyline. The guy just doesn't speak the way the left wants him to speak. The people on the right, we don't mind that he says things he says. It's just like, I had a dad who said shit out of turn. I love it.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Well, and then double down on that. We're New Yorkers, and we get it. We get people with that personality. But, you know, the one thing that I think he really steps in it is when he does the obvious lies. Like, I don't know if you believe that he did not have sex.
He had sex with Stormy Daniels. Of course he did.
Yeah. And I know Stormy, and I know he did. So, like, the thing is like, if you lie about that, it just, you know, it just makes it so much harder to kind of be like, okay,
you
know.
I get it.
Those are the things he steps in that I think.
I get it. You know, but by the same token, he can't sit there in front of the whole country and say, yes, I did have sex, because he would turn off so many people who believe in the sanctity of marriage. But I don't know what their marriage is like. Right. I don't know what Bill and Hillary's marriage was like. You want to talk about Barack and Michelle? We can go on forever. Show me a picture of her pregnant and I'll shut up. Listen, everybody's weird. Everybody has eccentricities. Their marriage works to some kind of degree. It's not my business.
Yeah.
But as a president, I think we were much better off. I know I was. But yeah, he does things and says things that I wish I could shut him up. If I was with him, I'd say, don't say that. What the fuck is wrong with you? Bring that back. He needs someone like that. And I'm not sure he has best friends that do that for him. But in the end, he's one of those guys you just can't change. He's almost 80. You think you're going to change this guy now? Forget it. He is who he is. Right. But he's already done the job. Let's not treat him as a novice. He's done the job.
I'm curious your opinion. Do you think that there is any conspiracy theory that is remotely correct about the assassination attempt?
I have a lot of questions about it. Aside from the fact that there was a complete total breakdown from the Secret Service, I don't know how much of that was on purpose or how much was on accident, but I've never seen anybody of that kind of importance treated with such benign neglect that day at that rally. I don't know, this kid Crooks could be so smart and cunning the way they're portraying him. Now suddenly he was for 2 years getting guns and watching Trump and watching Biden and even watching foreign leaders. Look at man, I'm an eyeball guy. He hasn't passed the eyeball test to me as a kid that's really, you know, on point with all the things he's gonna do. He's a fucking high school nerd that no one liked and he acted out, but I think there's a lot of similarities between him and Lee Harvey Oswald in the sense that somebody was in this kid's ear. I don't think he does that on his own. And the fact that there's a commercial with him like when BlackRock came to his school. You know, those are some deep state people, if you believe in that. Did they take him? Did they make him into this person? That's kind of deep in conspiracy talk, but
yeah,
it needs to be brought up. No one really is sure how someone can get on a roof. You know, there was a guy that doesn't even fire a rifle that did that test from 130 yards, and he hit the target, was a pumpkin, I believe, 15 out of 16 times. The guy doesn't even shoot. So this is a chip shot. If you're a golfer, it's a putt. How does that happen? How? Something is really wrong with that. And by the way, I hate to be the person that says this, but I said before it happened, it's going to happen. And I think it's going to happen again. He's going to have an attempt on his life again.
Do you think that'll happen before November?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Let's get into some mainstream gossip.
Yeah. All right.
Have you been watching the Olympics?
I didn't think I would because the opening ceremony was atrocious and insulting. But then I can't.
Why was it atrocious and insulting?
Can't take the last. Well, first of all, listen, stop shoving transgenderism and drag queens down my throat. I can't take it anymore. Don't have a man stand there with his testicles hanging out of his short shorts next to a young boy. Don't take Da Vinci's beautiful Last Supper picture and turn it into this kind of mess. It looked like I was down at the gay pride parade on Charles and Bleecker Street. It was disgusting. And then they rebounded by having Celine Dion sing a beautiful song by the Eiffel Tower. But by then it was too late. I said I never watch a second. But then I said, these kids have worked so long to be where they're going to be and get a gold medal for their country. It's hard to turn away from some of those beautiful moments of the Olympics. So I'll watch it in spots. But I don't want to see a transgender person box a biological male. If I could make one bet in my life, I put everything I own on the guy in the boxing ring that'll destroy the former biologically born female. There's no comparison. That's a joke. It's got to change. So outside of that, I'll watch some of the sports. Will you watch it? Do you watch any of it?
Well, I've watched a little. Listen, I'm obsessed with Celine. Okay. Celine Dion, coming back to Vegas. As soon as I saw the news last week that she was going to be doing a residency again at Resorts World, I got very excited. I went and watched her docuseries. Yeah. I Am Celine. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I haven't seen that. No.
So it's really interesting because it really captures this stiff person syndrome and shows her actually seizing a bunch of times during the docuseries and how terrible it is and how, listen, this woman, she's a bit dramatic. She's a bit cheesy. You know, she's kind of goofy. And her love story with her husband and Renee, you know, and like, you just kind of laugh at her. But at the same time, her life is about her voice and connecting with people. And the fact that she hasn't been able to do that it makes you really emotional watching that was her. So to see her at the Olympics was pretty amazing.
It is amazing. And I'll tell you, I know a personal story because her husband, Renee, was on the show that I host, High Stakes Poker. He played a lot of high stakes poker games. He had obviously a lot of money. This is a guy who mortgaged his house when Celine was young. He knew she had what it took to be a big star. And she never forgot that. There was one night where they were going to play a joke on her. It was her birthday. And there was a big poker game going on at the house. And they made believe he lost $1 million when she walked to the house. And when she saw that, he put his hands down and he fake cried. And Celine got behind him and hugged him and said, "It's okay. We'll be okay." I think that's such a beautiful moment in their lives to show people how much they loved each other. Because she has said, if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I'd be. And the fact that she performed after that atrocity and not many people stuck around to watch it, Lady Gaga gets $2 million to sing a song at the Olympics, and Celine did her song for free. That should tell you all you need to know about who she is as a person.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wow.
For free.
Well, all I know is I'll be going to Vegas to see her if you make the double.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Maybe you and you'll come with me.
I see you later. I'd watch her sing Lying Down. She's that amazing. Our voice is just beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Very few people like that anymore. I can only think of like Whitney Houston and maybe Mariah Carey.
Yeah, that's it. And Mariah's nuts. Whitney was amazing. She
was nuts too.
I know. I remember seeing Whitney before people even talked about it, trying to sneak into Eddie Murphy's house party in New Jersey back in like 91, screaming, cursing like ghetto. And I'm like, that's what Whitney Houston's like. She ain't what people see on TV. She's a street kid.
Well, I think we all saw that when she did the reality show with Bobby, which everyone was like, what? This is crazy.
Well, they blame Bobby, but she was that way before Bobby.
Yeah.
She's a tough street kid.
Yeah. Well, anyways, gorgeous voice. Yes. So with the Olympics, just to finish, I watched a little bit. I kind of like when they do those stories. There's a woman water polo player. Now, of course, I'm forgetting her name, but her husband was just diagnosed with cancer and he's there watching her. So that was kind of nice to see. I think they just won the gold. And then, I've been watching a little bit of the gymnastics because that's always fun. And one of the girls had some sort of liver issue a year ago and blew up like a puffin, and now she's fine. And to watch Simone and see how she's doing. So I kind of like all that stuff.
No, there's great human interest stories at the Olympics. That's why you don't need to put on this display. I don't know what got into France. I don't know. All I know is my father helped liberate that country, or else they'd all be speaking German. They should never have done that before the Olympics. I don't know what they were trying to send a message of. It was just, I don't want to see a guy in drag with a beard. Give me a goddamn break. Can we move on from this atrocity? So bad.
Yeah. So what do you think about the swimming commentator that got fired for making the sexist comment about the women?
Putting the makeup on.
Yeah.
Listen, we all talk that way. Those are stereotypes. We all know are true. Men don't ask for directions. Ladies, you all know you take too long with your makeup, and sometimes you're putting it on in the car with the visor down and the mirror and the mascara as we're driving to the restaurant. We've all been there. The guy said something that just, it's a non-issue to me. But in this day and age, look, there was a guy that lost his job because back in the day, maybe 7, 8 years ago, Serena Williams, who was a Venus, one of the Williams sisters was running up to the net in tennis and playing close to the net. That's called guerrilla style. G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A. Mm-hmm. Well, he said she's guerrilla tactics, took him off the air. Doesn't work anymore because they assume they meant gorilla as in G-O-R because she's a black girl.
Right.
And things like that just have to stop. You cannot fire that guy for saying what he said and then like have people like Kim Cheadle as the Secret Service director be forced to resign. No one fired her. Our Secretary of Defense disappeared for 2 weeks. He's back. No one fired him. So why is this guy getting fired for just saying something that we all understand? Women take time to look beautiful for their husbands or boyfriends. It's not a big deal.
Well,
how do you feel about it?
Chime in here. I actually did not hear the audio of what he said. I just read a bunch of articles. I read what he said. The girls, I guess, were taking a little bit of time leaving the swimming area, right? Yeah, after they won. Okay, so they were excited. And he said, girls will be girls. They're doing what they need to do, putting on their makeup, whatever he said. Now, I was not offended by that. I didn't think it was terrible. I mean, he was joking. It was maybe a dumb joke. But for a guy who is a veteran in, being a commentator in the Olympics and sports in general, I thought that was really aggressive. And anyone that, is going to sit here in the comments and be like, Rachel, how could you talk like that? You're a woman. I think he just misspoke. And I definitely agree with you. I don't think he should have been canceled for that. I think the cancel culture still is really terrible. And he clearly felt bad about it. They had just won the gold. He loves, doing this kind of thing. It's not like he doesn't like women. So
no, I know.
I thought it was weird. And I'm late to everything. Well, I'm never on time. My makeup or my driving skills, but I'm never on time. So
you got your hair and braids because you got to untie the braids later. So you got wavy hair, right?
Okay. Exactly. So to go on a date. You're right.
Okay, so a lot of guys know what girls do. Maybe he knows better than some. I don't know. But the point is, if you turn around track and field, you see Sha'Carri Richardson wearing more makeup than RuPaul's Drag Race. And she's out there running the 100 meter. You see, what's her name? Angel Reese in the WNBA with hair extensions and eyelashes fake. I mean, look, it's okay if that's the way you want to live, but we all know you do it. So if he says they're getting ready to put makeup on because they're going to be on national TV for a finishing photo, what's the big deal? Make a bigger deal about the guy who's diving in France with the big package in his Speedo who doesn't know how to place his junk the right way. Apparently the guy, he keeps it up, which I don't know how you do that.
Is this the guy they kept saying had a hard on the whole
time? Yeah, the French guy. He puts it up. No man walks around with this package up. You put it down.
And it was very offensive. Okay.
Yes. Well, it was interesting. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Let's talk about what everyone wants to hear about. Your inside scoop on J-Lo and Ben. So no one has confirmed that they are separated. Are they separated?
Sure they are. Ben just bought a new house. Ben just bought a new house in Brentwood. I mean, okay. If that doesn't say we're separated, nothing does.
Okay, so why, you would think, common sense would say, these guys have done this before. They dated each other years ago, didn't work out before. They went through this whole thing to very quickly get married. You would think that they would take a little time before they wanted anyone to know that they were going to separate. They have not been married that long. Why is this happening?
Well, I think it's foolish on Ben's part because we were speaking about women and makeup and all that stuff. J-Lo's beautiful. Not my type. I'm sure I'm not hers either. But she is beautiful. She's talented, et cetera. Listen, I can't believe he forgot how much she's a part of social media and how much she loves to be photographed and followed, even making her own phone calls to tell Paps she's going to be here or there. That's J-Lo lives a very public life. Ben Affleck doesn't like that. I don't know how he thought he could curtail that, but he couldn't. And I just think eventually it just got overwhelming for him. He likes more of a private life. And look, maybe he thought it was so annoying to him, he'd start drinking again. I don't know.
I was just going to ask if you thought that that sent him down a rabbit hole at where he started to drink and that made her get mad at him. And there was a whole back and forth.
I would say, speaking as a guy who's had issues with that, I would imagine he definitely dipped into it again. I'm not saying he's full blown. The guy's working on a movie right now, so he's definitely has his wits to him. But I think a guy that was so close with that particular vice for so long, I'd find it odd if he did. However, she wears the ring. She doesn't wear the ring. She throws herself a big Bridgerton-themed party in the Hamptons, which is who does this in the midst of a divorce or a separation? Throw the limelight. Even during these times, she wants the limelight on her. Where is Ben? He's working. He's in his house. You don't see him. He's at his kid's basketball game. J-Lo's just too much.
Yeah. I did think it looked so staged where she was on the bicycle with two people outside. I thought that was crazy.
Remember one thing. You messaged me the other day about, you said something about the media and stuff. And I said, I wanted to say to you, look, the movie La Dolce Vita, very famous movie. Marcello Mastroianni is a gossip columnist in Italy. Mm-hmm. And he has a friend that runs along with him and has a camera. The friend was named Paparazzo. That's why they get the term paparazzi, because of that movie. And it's a very famous movie, one of my favorite movies. And I related to him somehow on my mother's side because her maiden name was Mastroianni. And I can't remember how we're related, but it's there. And I thought that was always interesting. I'm a gossip columnist. He played one in the movie. This is really cool. But I know exactly what people in the limelight do with paparazzi and gossip columnists because I was one. Mm-hmm. They call them if they want coverage or to be followed or found. They let you know. These guys aren't just lucky. You think a thug was lucky in Saint-Tropez to snap somebody at the beach? No, he knows they're coming. They let them know.
Right.
So Jennifer loves doing that. Ben doesn't like doing that. And that's the biggest rift in between them that I know of. I don't think it's more personal than that. But the fact that Jennifer Garner is in the middle of this is just so weird to me. She's a wonderful woman, a great mother. She's been helping Ben through his alcohol problems for years. And I guess she still counsels him and J-Lo hangs out and comes over. Very weird to me. It's all weird.
So what do you think the end game will be? Do you think they'll officially announce that they're getting a divorce? And
I think Ben will be really, I think he'll be really embarrassed, but eventually it's going to come out, but it's going to be dragged out for a while. We're all supposed to guess what's happening. But when the man buys another house and they sell their $60 million house, look, the jig is up. You know, they're going to say it the way they want to say it, but we all know what it is. Ben, in my opinion, got tired of the publicity that J-Lo seeks constantly, all the time.
Well, I hope that J-Lo will learn a lesson in this, that she has to next time be a lot more private with who she dates, because we're all expecting her to start dating somebody within a couple weeks and probably in vain.
Well, she'll find a Silicon Valley guy. She'll find somebody from Silicon Valley, but, you know, multiple millions or billions. And then she'll maybe be happy again. I don't know how you date up from Ben Affleck. I mean, he's a handsome guy, talented as hell, big movie star. Where do you go from him? Probably.
I don't know. I'm predicting she'll find someone.
In Hollywood?
In Hollywood. A singer again. Really? I think she likes the limelight. Like, you know, it has to be flashy name. Like a Kanye. Obviously, she's not going to be Kanye because he's a mask. Let's talk about Kanye for a second. What the fuck? What is up with this dude?
Let me just say this. But what he's doing with Bianca Censori amazes me. I don't know how this girl, I don't know how she just is his muse constantly. She's a beautiful girl, great figure. She's educated. She's an architect degree.
Hold on. Before you go further, this is maybe me being way too, judgmental.
Go ahead.
If she's gonna go around wearing her tits out like that, I think the woman needs a boob job. You don't think that they are hanging way too low?
They're natural. They're natural. So they do hang low to a degree, but they're big. I look at that's not what men are complaining about when they see a picture of her. They probably don't like, as I didn't, her sitting on seats in restaurants with short shorts where her ass cheeks are going to touch leather. I don't want to sit in that seat after that. Like, that's enough. Don't do that anymore.
Sticky and gross. But as a woman, I think it's offensive looking at some girls' tits that are just hanging around. I understand that.
I get it. Men are cavemen. A lot of men. We see curves and it draws our attention. I don't know what she sounds like. I'm sure she has an Australian accent, I guess. So weird. We don't know much about her. We just see her. No. So Kanye, I don't know what he's doing, but imagine you're Kim Kardashian. You've got children with this guy.
Yeah.
What do the kids think of their dad?
I don't know. And does he even have visitation with this woman? I think the whole thing is totally bizarre.
Well, I see them with their kids. She's hanging out with Northwest. Like she's doing their hair, braiding their hair. Like she's involved in their life. I don't know.
If I was a journalist, I would track down her family and I would pay someone to give a really good, deep inside scoop of what she's like.
Her brother and father are gangsters. They both did jail time. They're like Australian mafia, if you will. They're Italian guys. There's some kind of mafia down there. They're involved in that, or they were. They've both done jail time. They're tough guys.
Well, they're probably, maybe there's some sort of financial gain.
Maybe they will see. I think so.
And after a couple of years, she'll pull out, but she'll have made millions. The whole family will be well taken care of.
I hope Kanye pulls out, because if he has another kid with her, oof, that's going to be something else.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, I want to talk about something that I don't understand. We keep hearing little bits here and there about Puffy, and there's so much to go into with Puffy, and I know you have some really good inside scoop, but why has he not been indicted at this point? And do you think he will be?
I think he's cooperating. I think he's cooperated for many years. Listen, in the 90s, I had heard that Puffy's a dangerous guy, and I wrote about him. I knew him. I didn't hang out with him, but I knew him. We knew each other, kind of a head nod across the room kind of shit. But I always knew he was dangerous. And I knew that there are people in his wake who are dead. This is way before Albie Shore got sick and all these people died around him. Kim Porter, his ex, the mother of his kids. I was around them or him at that time. And I mentioned to you that Kim Porter, the girl, his ex is dead now, died of pneumonia, supposedly. Years ago in New York City, maybe 2001, her and a friend, were at a club. Remember Chia in New York City, that club Cheetah? Was here and there, but came in a minute. I saw her. She was attractive. We started talking. Her friend said, my friend likes you. I sat down with him. She gave me a number. And I said, she's familiar to me. I knew she was a model, but then I go, wait, you're Kim. You're Kanye's girl. I said, isn't he going to get upset that you give me your number?
You and mean Diddy, laughed. Not Kanye.
Diddy, sorry. And she said, he doesn't care. And I never called her, never did nothing to do with her. But now you find out that, of course, she was seeing other people. He would watch. He got turned on by that. But then there are stories where he cracked a chair over her head because flowers arrived at the house when some guy wrote, last night was unbelievable, we got to do this again. And he beat her up, put her in the hospital, broke her arm. And everybody that worked at Bad Boy for a while, whether it was Heavy D or Kim Porter or Albie, who almost died, Andre Harrell, they're all dead. Tupac's dead. Biggie's dead. I always heard information that Diddy was behind that, paid $1 million to have Tupac locked. I always thought that his closeness to Biggie with this I'll be missing you bullshit didn't ring true to me. I said, this guy wants the limelight and Biggie was in his way. I didn't think he had anything to do with Tupac because I knew who Tupac's killer was. At least I thought I did. Now they're saying that Diddy paid for it to go down. I'm not quite sure that's exactly what happened, but that's the news story. But he's
right. Last week, is it Keefe D? Is that his name?
Keefe D did not kill Tupac.
But he's the one in jail right now.
Yes, and it's not him. The guy that killed Tupac, there were two brothers named Hatton. Danny And I forgot the other guy's name, but they might be PPD's nephews. One of the Hatton boys, shot Tupac.
And are they dead now? Where are they?
I believe one of them's still around. But okay. For some reason, the cops, PPD admitted to it. He ain't the guy. I got really strong people in that field who know who it was. It was never PPD. But the cops suddenly, a year ago, they pull him in. He's the guy, case closed. The cops don't care about Tupac or Biggie. They don't care about Black.
But
rapper.
Is the case closed? I mean, the fact that they just hired Alex Spiro. Did Tupac's family hired Alex Spiro, who's a really big lawyer, in this kind of thing? This is not the first time he's done this. And Keefe D has resurfaced an allegation that Diddy offered to pay him to take out Tupac, to pay him $1 million. So maybe he's talking about this in prison. I don't know that the case is closed with that. We haven't seen it go to trial. We haven't seen
anything. No, it never will. It never will. Because they just don't. No one cares. It's 20 something years old. It's over. It's gone. But the big issue is Puffy and how many things he's had his hands in over the years.
Right.
And I think he's cooperating. And I think he always has cooperated. That's why he's been able to. Look, you saw him spend, $50,000 for that Cassie Ventura tape. And let's talk about the fact that he possibly had that plastic surgeon killed.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, because this episode is going to come out before had Spencer Pratt on a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Spencer Pratt is married to Heidi Montag. When they became famous. They were on a reality show. But what really made them famous in the tabloids was that she had 10 surgeries done at once, from her boobs to her nose to, liposuction, all this. The doctor's name was Dr. Frank Ryan.
Right.
Now, fast forward. So he became famous, Instagram famous, but tabloid famous.
Sure.
Next thing you know, right around the same time, he does Cassie's breast.
Breast job.
Breast job. Makes it bigger. And apparently what happened is Puffy got really mad. As soon as she woke up, he said, take these out.
Yeah.
And wanted them taken out the next day. And Dr. Ryan said, I'm not doing that. It could kill her. And they
got into
a huge altercation. And I believe he was convinced to take them out. I don't really remember what the end story was.
Yeah.
Long story short, within a year, Dr. Ryan, who Spencer swears he knows him very well. He said he loved his dog who was in the car with him. He was texting something about his dog and he went over a cliff. Now, Spencer says to me, Rachel, I know this guy. I know this area. Mm-hmm. It's a cliff. He was coming out of his house. It is an area he's gone through every day, at least twice a day. This is not a cliff he would have gone over. He is not a guy who would be texting. This was something that went awry. He said, I don't know that whoever, made him go over the cliff meant to kill him. It might have been something to scare him, but that's what happened. By the way, the dog is fine. I don't know.
Oh, the dog's fine?
Alive, but the dog
lived. I wanted to hear that. Good.
Yeah. The dog did live. So now it's resurfaced and everyone is saying that there is, this conspiracy theory that Puffy had this doctor killed because
it's not that hard to have some thugs in a car or two or three cars swerve and make this guy come off the road. He's a doctor. Doctors don't get involved with skirmishes like this. If you got a couple of cars with some big tough guys that don't want to get you off the road, they can get you off the road. I don't know if that happened for sure. That's certainly a good conspiracy theory. Look, no one's going to know the answer to how many people are gone because Puffy did what he did. But we've seen enough from what's written, what Kim has written. Kim was writing a tell-all book. I had excerpts of that before anybody did.
I want my listeners to hear a little bit about what you read because you sent it to me. I know it was on your podcast.
Yeah.
But for people that are not aware, what you sent to me was insane. I can't believe where people are not talking about it. Give a little bit of an insight.
Honestly, Rachel, I forget. I'm so giddied out.
So she had written in her unpublished memoir.
Right.
And
right.
I think the feds have it at this point, right? I mean, I'm not sure.
I know a buddy of mine has it. That's how I got it.
Okay.
I think he's going to try to do something in Hollywood, but I'm not sure if the feds have it, but
So she claimed, and you had read pieces of this. So I'm paraphrasing, but you had actually read pieces of it. She had claimed that she sort of had it with Puffy and was going to have a conversation with him. She called him over to her home. She said, you know, it's over. And he gets very angry. But what she writes about before that is how, you know, she was done with all the crazy sex.
Oh, the crazy sex parties. Right. I get it now.
The group stuff. I think she was pregnant at one time when she was made to have group sex.
Right.
And then she was there. She had witnessed when she woke up one morning, the door opening and seeing, I think it was Will Smith, seeing Snoop Dogg. Was it Snoop Dogg? Snoop Dogg,
Will Smith, Snoop Dogg, Justin Bieber, Usher. She made references to like, you know, gay stuff about those kids when they were younger. She'd had it with the sex, these freak out parties where people took drugs. And a lot like Jeffrey Epstein, Puffy was filming everyone. I've even heard there's a chick on YouTube named Jaguar Wright. She's a rapper. She sang on some people. She had sang with Jay-Z. She had some weight behind her. She has decided in the last few years to come out and say everything about hip hop culture. And she has said that these parties were real. Puffy would record everything. And it's even on the dark web. Don't ask me how to get there. Actual sex scenes between stars on the dark web that people pay a lot of money for. I don't know who needs to see this or what kind of money they give up to see Usher having sex with. I don't even know, but those are crazy examples of the kind of life he was living. And I remember when I was, I had a girlfriend that had a Hamptonshire for a while, and I was out there with her in the late 90s, and Puffy showed up because he knew her. And he was with J-Lo, but he was with this young girl. It was not J-Lo. J-Lo was a beautiful star. And he's with this young, obviously he was messing around with her. And I thought, he knows who I am. And he's sitting there with this young girl and he's with J-Lo. He's obviously fucking the young girl. Mm-hmm. What is he? I was out of the business, so I didn't write about it back then, but I wouldn't have if I was, because it was like an agreement, a silent agreement. You're on your time. I'm not going to fuck with you. But this guy was very brazen about what he did. He made threats to people that are easily researched and found. When you look, Al B. Sure was a good friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in years, but we used to hang out. And I'll tell you something real quick. I lived in the West Village. Al B. and I were driving one day in his Range Rover one night. And through the West Village, the meatpacking districts were a lot of tranny hookers, loaded, old tranny hookers. They used to know my name. They used to tell me Mike Tyson was here, Arsenio Hall, Eddie Murphy came. All these guys would sample the trannies. And Albie said to me, watch this. He lowered the window down, tinted windows, and he said, hey, girls. And they ran to his car. They loved him. Then he gets a phone call. He's like, Will and Jada are uptown at the hotel. They're going to have some fun. You want to go with me? You got a girlfriend to bring? I said, I'm not into that shit, man. He said, I'm going to call. He mentioned my other friend. He called my other friend, and they went. I want no part of that. And my friend, who I grew up with, told me, oh, yeah. Full on swinging, full on Will's with guys and Jada's fucking other guys in front of everybody. She is so full of shit. So is Will Smith. The jig is up with them, but they're big time Hollywood people. They dabble in Scientology. They're very creepy to be around. But Al B. Sure was somebody that knew everything about Puffy, and he almost died. God, his liver went. This guy was in a coma for like a month or two before he came back.
And something else that you had read out loud from Kim Porter's unpublished book was how she talked about someone else dying from pneumonia. And now I'm forgetting.
Yeah, and then she died of pneumonia.
Died of pneumonia.
And I've had pneumonia 3 times. I'm susceptible to it. So I've never smoked in my life, but I get pneumonia. She had nothing, not even over-the-counter drugs on her night table. Nothing in her house to take care of pneumonia. It's not a real story. She lived where she was in Toluca Lake was like a mile and a half from my house. I drove there when she died. I don't know what I wanted to see, but I wanted to drive by the house. And there was a lot of people coming in and out the day she died or the day after. Yeah. Very sad. She was I knew her a little bit. She was a sweet person. But anybody that's involved in that kind of lifestyle of whoring yourself out for the pleasure of your boyfriend, you give him all these kids. And let's not forget, Al B. Sure's son was adopted by Puffy. You know what I mean? Like, Al B. Sure was with Kim Porter before. It's all a mishmash.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. One of Puffy's sons is Albie's son. I think it's Quincy, I believe. And he adopted him. Strange shit. It's all strange.
Wait, do you remember that whole thing where, and I'm going to get this wrong because I didn't actually look this up before we talked, but didn't Diddy adopt a white chick, a young white girl?
I heard that. Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah, that kind of came and went, didn't it?
Yeah, but like, what was that? Who's that? Where is she?
Yeah. I don't know. It's
there's so much to uncover. And the more you talk about it, there's so many tentacles where there are so many people in Hollywood and not Hollywood that have witnessed stuff. And either everyone's keeping it quiet, but someone's got a crack at some point. I mean, you know, Aubrey O'Day, is that her name?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know
has said this for years and talked about it for years. There will be other people that will talk about it that don't just aren't just looking for money and don't want to be in a, you know, lawsuit, that really have been dealing with it in therapy.
Yeah.
Want to tell the story. So I will be interested to see how this pans out. If you hear about any
I'll keep your breath, but I see this ending in a Jeffrey Epstein way. I don't think you're going to see Puffy in jail. I think he has cooperated with the feds for a long time. They know what he brings them, and who knows who's been locked up.
But if he brings them something, someone else has to go down. So we need to hear some other big scandal.
And that's what we're talking about gossip. We're talking about bartering. We're talking about cops operate that way constantly. They have informants that they, you know, it's very intricate, this whole Puffy situation. Really deep.
Okay. Listen, we could talk for hours. Is there something, first of all, how often does your podcast drop?
My podcast, Fame is a Bitch, is behind a paywall. It's on Patreon. It's $5 a month. I do it every day. It's daily. There's a show I do with my producer, Mike Agavito, called Everything is a Bitch, where we discuss every topic. Then I have a show, Politics is a Bitch, but I no longer do them for free. I've done it for 7 years, and now my shows are behind a paywall. It's patreon.com/fameisabitch. And it's a combination of me breaking stories or just telling stories from my time as a gossip columnist. My listeners tend to like my stories more than they like to hear about gossip. They just like to hear, you know, the stories around me and my family and this kind of shit that happened.
Yeah, your stories are much more interesting. This stuff that we've been talking about, the latest stuff, I mean, it's all over entertainment news and pop culture, but it's not as exciting as the stuff from the 90s, quite frankly.
No, it isn't to me. And I feel like I was blessed to be a columnist during that era because the Menendez brothers, Joey Buttafuoco, O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson, it was endless.
Yeah.
Tanya Harding. There was so many crazy stories.
So many.
And I was right there for the thick of it. And I'm just connected to so many things. I'm like, it's like a Forrest Gump kind of thing. I'm always connected to it somehow.
Right. All right. Well,
but not you. I never was connected to you. We never, I think you started after I left, maybe. When did you really begin working, like VIP stuff?
My VIP, I started in Vegas in 2005.
Oh, see, no, I was out by 98.
Yeah,
I was in New York.
And I became, you know, my face became famous in September 11th of 2001. But then it was 2005 that I was in Vegas and doing all that. And then it was 2009 with the
crazy shit. Well, anyway, I mean, if without that, by the way, I love the Indochine wallpaper behind you.
Oh, thanks.
I love it. That was my favorite restaurant. I mean, but you lived it. You lived scandal. You know what the press can be like. You know who to make friends with, who to avoid.
Well, yeah. And I was a journalist, too, for even though it was Bloomberg News, I got a real training in news. But not only that, working in the nightclub industry and being that gatekeeper for celebrities, even though I became later, I saw what that was like to have a gatekeeper, to be the gatekeeper and know. Yeah. I had to know their wives, their mistress, their secrets, know how to hide them, know how to get a different story out about them, and then juggle all that with people that were trying to, you know, to get into their inner circle. So I learned a lot. It was very much like a Karate Kid wax on, wax off, where I learned all these different things and it all came together in my own scandal.
Listen, my palms get sweaty hearing it because I remember what I started. I didn't know anything about, I just liked celebrities. I loved movies and I wanted to be an actor. I studied acting. Then to be in that world and write about them. And then suddenly I was on the other side of the rope and the guys I wrote with looked down at me. It was like, you're not one of us. Now you're one of them. Whatever kind of half-assed celebrity I had, it was a strange trip. I loved it, but it was really weird to be on the other side of that rope and watch them look at me the way I used to look at movie stars. It's just... But I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's given me stories forever. Right. There was many close calls. And look, I'm not going to lie. I was involved in all this shit for so many years. All we did was party and have fun and get up in the morning and write the column. But it was like, I don't want to say wartime. That's ridiculous. But it was like crazy to be out every day until 3 or 4, get up at 8 and do it again and do that for years. Right. You get spit out eventually, but... I really relish those times. I could talk about it forever. That's what I do.
Right. All right. Well, I'm going to have you come on again, and we're going to talk about specific stories.
All right.
Because I think that'll be fun as opposed to this boring stuff about now. But I will ask you, is there anything, because I know you are following all this current gossip because you talk about it every day. People should go sign up for his Patreon. Fame as a Bitch is his podcast. But is there one or two things that you're following right now that you are really covering a lot on your show?
I'm getting tired of Ben and J-Lo. I think my listeners are too. Trump and Kamala is going to be something we debate about for a long time. I incorporate that because Trump is a star. He's a celebrity.
Yeah. By the way, I was fascinated, and I'll just say this very quickly. People should go watch the docuseries that AJ is in called Gossip. There is an amazing story that Cindy tells about how she has known Donald Trump for 50 years or
yes,
something.
Yes, she has.
And when her beloved husband that people gave her a hard
Joey
time.
Joey Adams,
when he died, Trump showed up at her home.
Yeah.
And took her out in a helicopter and she was able to spread his ashes over Central Park.
Oh my God. I never heard that story.
Yeah. And if you don't have a special place in your heart for someone who saw how important her husband was and took her out of it to be able to go, you know, cause you can't go spread ashes in the middle of New York City.
No, you can't. No.
So that I think will always remain, you know, I don't know what her political beliefs are now. I don't know who she thinks is going to win, who she wants to win, but I know she has an affinity for
her. Yeah. She's a real New Yorker, maybe the biggest New Yorker there is, but look, you know, your show is misunderstood. I know you are. I know I am. I know Donald Trump is. Whether you like his politics or not, the guy does things like that. I know at least another 15, 20 of those stories that people will never know, and he'll never brag about it.
Yeah.
That's just the way he is. He could be irritating, but he could also be the guy you want in your corner when you really need someone.
Yeah.
It's misunderstood.
Yeah, that's right. AJ, you're the best. Everyone, please go listen to his podcast, Fame as a Bitch. We might start our own podcast,
Dating as a Bitch.
Because we'll have endless stories. And AJ's going to help me get married.
I'll try my best. Look, I'm done with that. I think I got the one, but I thought you were set up. I thought you were good. I had no idea.
No, we're starting all over, AJ. So
my goodness. All right.
Dating into your 50s when you've been in a scandal. You know, there's a whole...
It's not easy. Well, don't... When you find someone that's really good for you, like I did, don't fuck it up.
No, I know. Once I find them, I'm going to keep them.
Good. That's the way to do it.
And hopefully they will be a nice, normal human being. I'm assuming your girlfriend
she's
civilian.
She's wonderful. She's great. She makes me laugh. She's beautiful. She's kind. She's everything. Everything. And
she's not a celebrity.
No. She's a civilian.
Yeah.
And she likes it that way. Doesn't even like when I talk about her. So let's put it that way.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she doesn't like, she's private. Yeah, she's private.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very right, public. AJ, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to have you on again. And I love you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.